Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Tim.
How are you, man?
Yes, sir.
All right. So positive.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
How's it going with you?
It's going good, man. It's going great. Going great. I was just listening to you pick on that guitar a while ago there. And just, that's my old JT going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And setting a sexy mood in here for us.
I totally think this would work. Somebody needs to cut this bluegrass. I mean, you don't have to do it. Just cut it just like they did. Just with a guitar, you know?
Oh, man. It don't get much better than that, does it? Suzanne, the plans they made put into you. I like that.
I always heard that song was about a plane crash.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's actually not. I think his friend overdosed is what it was. But he had just heard about it. But, you know, it talks about sweet dreams and flying machines lying pieces on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Flying Machine was the band he had at the time.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Cool.
That is cool. I love James Taylor. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, my gosh. Me too.
I saw him twice in concert, and once was at the Starwood Amphitheater in Nashville.
Ooh, yeah.
In the pouring down rain, sitting outside. I was in my 20s, had a date. You know, it was just poured down the whole time, sitting out there on the grass, listening to JT at the Starwood Amphitheater. Is that place even still around?
No. I mean, it's still there, but it's closed. I think they're going to reopen it at some point and call it something else, I've heard. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw him. That was probably, gosh, that was around early 90s. So that was a long time ago.
Man, it was. But
pretty cool, pretty cool. So you had a good weekend? You play music? Y'all played Thursday, didn't you, last week?
Yes, at the old Dumplin' Valley Bluegrass
Festival.
How'd that
go?
It went great, good man. Crowd? It was a blast. Yeah. Great crowd.
That's awesome, man. That was a multi-day festival, though, right?
It is, yeah. We kicked it off on a Thursday, and then, you know, it had Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
So they don't do Sunday. Most people don't do Sundays anymore.
Yeah. Jerusalem Ridge did, but I think it was all gospel music on Sunday.
Which I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I do, too. That's cool. That's cool. Well, speaking of great festivals, we've got ours coming up, the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass.
Oh, yes.
Have our festival. This is the second year that we'll be doing this in conjunction with Calvert City, Kentucky, and the Kentucky Lake Tourism, and it's the River Folk Fest. And we've got a great lineup of musicians. October the 4th. We're going to have, which would normally be our normal bluegrass night at the Kentucky Opry. We're going to have it there at Memorial Park in Calvert City. So we're just going to have an open jam session. And then, the Bluegrass Review boys will be playing, and girl will be playing Friday night. And then on Saturday, got, the Paducah, Kentucky local duo, called the River Dust Duo. I've never heard this duo other than just on social media, but it's a girl that plays the upright bass, and the guy plays the acoustic guitar, and really good sound. And so we got them at noon. And then Jason McKendry's band, Fifth Degree.
Fifth Dimension,
Fifth Dimension, whatever dimension they're in.
Whatever.
Yeah, so Fifth Time Out.
Fifth Time Out.
Yeah. Oh, man, but they're a great bunch of guys and a bunch of good pickers, so they're going to be playing at around 1 o'clock, and then the Dalton Harper Band will be playing at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Grascals.
Them Rascals.
Them Rascals, the Grascals, will be closing out the show.
Back by popular demand.
That's right. Second year in a row we've had the Grascals. So
yeah. Everybody loved them last year.
Make this a yearly thing or what, but we're excited to have them back in their 20th anniversary as a band. So
yeah.
So they've got a new album out called 20 and a lot of great songs in there. So we're looking forward to seeing those boys again.
Yeah, they've got a new video too that they've released for.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, for Tennessee Hound Dog, Osborne Brothers song.
Oh, yeah.
Not many people have attempted that one, but they did and they rocked it.
I bet.
Sounds
that's
so good.
Cool. Did Terry Edwards sing on that with them?
No, it's John Bryan is the one doing the lead on that. And then it's Jamie,
yeah,
of course, you know, and Smitty.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they're singing on it.
I didn't know if they brought Old Eldridge back since he played with the Osborne Brothers or not. But
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That'd be cool. But yeah, we're excited to have those boys and looking forward to that. I guess you're going to be there, right? You're in town that weekend?
It's yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay. I just make sure. I didn't know if y'all were playing somewhere or not.
I don't think
we've ever talked about it. But.
Nope. I plan on being there.
Well, cool, man. That'll be awesome. But you guys make plans if you're going to be in the Kentucky Lake area of Western Kentucky around Calvert City. Make plans October 4th and 5th for the River Folk Fest, put on, sponsored by the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass and the Kentucky Lake Tourism. And we hope to see you there for sure. It's all free. And Friday night at 6 p.m. and then Saturday from noon to 6. Lots of great bluegrass music.
And they always have really cool stuff there, too. You know, I mean, there's stuff to do. It's not like
it's a family friendly thing. They got tons of food vendors, arts and craft vendors, lots of things for the kids. If it's hot enough, I mean, there's that big water fountain park thing, you know, where the kids can play in the fountains splash park, whatever it's called. And but just a beautiful park with a beautiful covered amphitheater and obviously a beautiful part of the country being right there close to Kentucky Dam and right there in your neck of the woods, man.
Yep. Good old Marshall County.
The heart of Josh Williams country.
It's close.
Pretty close. Yeah. Calvert City, just a hop, skip, and a jump from Benton.
That's right.
So, but anyway, been a great week. Got some great questions to address here in a minute. Josh is going to play us a song, and we're looking forward to having a great episode for you. We got a great episode tonight. Jonathan Keaton with the West Liberty Mountain Boys is going to be our guest here in a little bit. So, looking forward to chatting with him, seeing what they've got going on, and talk about their new album. So
he's a banjo picker, right?
He is a banjo picker, yeah. Pretty good one.
We won't hold that against him, though.
I know it. I know it. There's a few of them got to do it. So we'll just sound like he did.
You made me think of something. I almost forgot to share it. But when you were talking about you mentioned the fifth time out or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember back in, I don't even remember when it was, early 2000s, I guess, when the original, the first, the Antominski band started. And, of course, it was Ronnie Stewart on the banjo and Justin Moses on the fiddle, Barry Bales bass. Adam Steffi was still playing with him. And anyway, he was talking about what they were going to call it. You know, they finally settled on the, you know, Antominski band, but he thought about calling it Third Time Inski. I always thought that was so funny.
It's hilarious. Tell everybody that story you just tell me before we went on the air about Charlie Waller.
Oh, man, Charlie Waller was a really cool guy. And I really did get to spend some cool time with him, you know, like sitting on a bus and stuff and just chatting. Yeah. And he was the nicest guy and had the best stories, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a story of him. He had Charlie Waller written on the fingerboard of his D-28 mm-hmm. that he played all those years. So he was playing somewhere, and I think there was a bunch of guests and stuff on stage, and he had his capo, you know, on his guitar, and somebody asked, "Hey, Charlie, what key are we in?" And he looked down at his fingerboard where that capo was, and he said, "We're in key of R," because that capo was across the R on his
and
name.
Charlie. That is so great.
Yeah, it was funny, man.
That is so funny.
That guy was a great dude, man. That's an amazing singer. My gosh.
Yeah, no doubt.
To this day, I can still listen to some of his stuff and just get goosebumps, man.
That's neat. That is neat. We had one question sent in by a listener. I'll throw this out there real quick. Jordan Faniff, I guess. I'm not sure if I butchered that. I'm sorry. Phaneuf. But Jordan has been a listener. We've talked before on Facebook, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook, but he just sent a message in this week and just wanted to know how Josh and I met. I think it was when we were in prison, or was it at that strip club?
I can't remember. It was prison, I think.
Okay, I thought that's how it was, but anyway, no. I guess we met through Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass.
We did, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, unless you want to go back to the time when we met at South Carolina at the
at the Sweetgrass Music Festival. Yeah, many moons ago. Yeah,
that was a great meeting.
Yeah, then. Yeah, that was when you snubbed me. But yeah, that's where we actually officially met our first time.
That probably was. Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, I think you're
like,
you
I'm
just
from your area. I'm like, okay.
Woke up off the bus and I said I was the MC of the Sweetgrass Music Festival in Charleston, South Carolina, and Josh was with Rhonda Vincent, and they were our headliner that night, and he was back in the green room tent or whatever we had set up, and I was just back there chatting, fixing to put them out on stage, and I was like, "Hey, Josh, I'm Tim Batts. I'm from your area. I live in Western Kentucky. I live around Paducah." And you went, "Oh, yeah, cool." It's like turn around and walk away. I was like, "Well, you peckerhead."
Well, yeah, I probably deserved that.
This was like, gosh, this was a while back. So
what year was that? Was that 07, 06? Was it that long ago?
It was pretty good. Pretty well. I don't know. I have to look back. But I think it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was my first time with Rhonda.
Yeah, may have been.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that's when we first met. But Josh and I serve on the board together for Jackson Purchase, Friends of Bluegrass, and that's where we officially got acquainted. And
yeah,
when he became a nicer person, he started talking to people.
Oh man, well, I tell you what, man, being sober definitely makes a difference.
Oh man, that's funny.
I guess the first time we ever really hung out like quite a bit was when we started working on the festival last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And then because that's where the idea for this came up. And,
yeah. True. I guess that's right. We started planning the River Folk Fest for 2023, and then during that festival, I said we ought to do a podcast, and you said let's do it. So
yeah,
there we go. But Jordan also wanted to know: do you ever warm up when you get ready to play on guitar? Like you just walk on stage, or do you warm your fingers up, or do any exercises or anything when it comes to warming up for a gig?
For the longest time, I would just kind of get out and go, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I try to at least play for a few minutes, you know, get my fingers moving a little bit and stuff. But I don't have
nothing
any, like...
Nothing official, you just play through.
Yeah, I don't have, like, a set warm-up regiment,
right.
You know.
But you don't do scales or nothing?
Well, I might. You know, yeah. Most of the time, I just try to think of, like, a T-Rice break, and I just kind of work on that, because that's... pretty scaly most of the time.
Right, exactly.
Pretty intricate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that'd definitely get the fingers moving.
Oh, yeah, man.
On one of those, for sure, so.
You know, I saw on bluegrasstoday.com, I saw a former bluegrass boy, a guy by the name of Bill Simpson, passed away. He was a great banjo player.
Oh, yeah? I had not heard of him. How long did he play with the bluegrass boys, you know?
I don't know. He taught Terry Baucom, though.
Really?
But, yeah.
Taught Terry Baucom.
That's what it says.
Wow. Well, that's crazy.
Yep, sure enough. It doesn't say right off. And if it does, I'll have to, you know, just go through and read the entire thing. But
yeah.
We sang the Opry in the fall of 1956.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yep. Said Monroe loved mules. He'd drive across Kentucky to see mules.
Well, hence the Mule Skinner Blues.
That's right, man. A 9-passenger Cadillac.
That's a boat.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's cool. Well, sorry to hear about his passing. That's too many too many old bluegrass boys that are passing away.
Yeah, I'll tell you. He was 90. Bless his heart. Wow. So, yeah,
he lived a full life.
I'd say so.
Well, prayers for his family and Bill Simpson, former bluegrass boy, for sure will be missed.
That's right.
In the bluegrass world.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll take a quick break. When we do, we'll address our other question we had sent in by a listener, and we'll get Josh to play a little bit on the guitar. And then right after that, we'll have a great conversation with Mr. Jonathan Keaton of the West Liberty Mountain Boys. So you guys hang tight, and we will be right back.
Don't go nowhere.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small-town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
And welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. We're so thankful for our great sponsors that help keep great bluegrass music and commentary alive and well.
Yes.
And we do appreciate them. Speaking of our presenting sponsor, AllenMusicShop.com. I went down there today, actually, and good friend of mine I grew up with called me last week, said, man, I'm 55 years old. Is it too late to learn to play guitar? I said, Lord, no. And he said, I'm about to have a major surgery next week, and I'm going to be down and out for several weeks, and I want something to do. And my mom just passed away, and she always wanted me to play guitar, and will you help me pick out a guitar? I said, absolutely. So I met him down at Allen Music Shop today. And got that boy a brand new Martin guitar. So
oh, wow.
Their X series. It's kind of a kind of an entry level guitar, but a very nice guitar. And he was super excited with it. Brandon got it all set up, tuned up, and got him a few things going with it. So
you know, I'm pretty partial to the Bourgeois guitars that he has there.
Yeah, they are a new Bourgeois dealer.
Yes,
and they're
say it again,
Bourgeois. I have so much trouble saying that.
It's funny, though.
Bourgeois. I can't hardly say it without doing my head like this. Bourgeois.
Yeah, they are very bourgeois.
They are. They're very bougie. But very great sounding guitars as well. So, but he had a budget of, you know, under $1,000. And so he went with the Martin X series and a great entry-level guitar. So thankful to Allen Music Shop for hooking him up with there. Jordan that had... asked us the other question earlier. It was also asking about they had some custom picks made from the old flooring of Allen Music Shop, and I don't know if they were still available. And they are. I saw them on the counter today. So
wooden picks.
Yeah, wooden picks. So if you want one of those, you can give them a call and they'll.
I had a
ship
pick that was made out of stone once.
Really?
Yeah, it was from a. What is the is it stalagmite? That or stalactite, which
from
one
a,
is the
from a
the
cave? Hang,
yeah, that hangs from
yeah, stalagmite, I think.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I can't remember what it was made out of now, but I got it years ago. I got it at the Tennessee Banjo Institute when I was like 12 years old. Wow. I still got it somewhere.
Really?
Yeah,
my goodness, that's crazy.
It didn't sound very good,
yeah,
but it's real pretty to look at.
It didn't sound good, but it was pretty looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way these are. I've got one just from a nostalgia standpoint, and I've never played it, so I don't know how it sounds. But they are beautiful to look at.
Yes,
so.
Definitely.
But The other question we had sent in by a listener was from Jacob Irvin. And he said, hey, guys, faithful listener of the Hometown Bluegrass Podcast with you and Josh. My question is this. I've noticed Josh does this thing with his right hand when he goes to a D chord. It's almost like he stops to hit a certain note. And I would just like clarification. I'll send an example.
Wait,
he
said this thing?
This thing.
I do this thing.
You do this thing. He just does lots of things. But I'm not sure if he's concentrating on hitting the D string open or not. It's a little more apparent in this video. Just curious if there was a reason behind this or if it was just conscious effort. So he did send us a couple videos. And
I can promise it's not conscious.
Yeah, Josh is unconscious when he plays
most of the time. I'm kind of like old Barry whenever he took that bass break with Tony Rice the first time. Barry Bales came out with us to play the Tony Rice unit, and we were playing I'm a Pilgrim or something, I think, and I looked at Barry, and I said, are you ready for a bass break? He's like, no. I was like, Tony's going to kick you one. He's like, no, he's not. And I was like, okay. And then about that time, he kicked it to him, you know, and he didn't nod it off. He like went ahead and played it. But when he got done, he looked at me. He was like, hey, man, how long was I out? Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, that is
but
great.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is, you know. It's definitely not conscious.
That is great.
So I assume that he's meaning that I'm playing the D string, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the video we watched, you play, I think, Mordecai in one song, but then the other one was that... The Likes of Me, Jerry Reed song. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can see your right hand just kind of stops for just a split second right before you strum a D. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, man.
Well, I'm glad you can see that.
Well, it's...
I guess I'm just used to doing it, so, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I guess I'm just stopping to hit the D string.
Yeah. Right there, I see your hand doing it, yeah.
Well, and then when I stop to do that, what I'm doing is I'm actually hitting the one thing that I didn't have conscious effort on for a while, and it's become subconscious now, but it's the way that I'm hitting the strings.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I'm doing the... making sure that I hit the D string with the pick completely flat against it.
So it's already on the string and you pull it off the string.
Yeah, because a lot of the time you hit the side of your pick when you're playing rhythm. You kind of, you know, kind of turn it and it gives you more of that,
right.
You know, that kind of sound.
Right.
And with the... So I try to keep my pick... When I make contact with a single string, I try to keep it as flat as possible.
Gotcha.
Because you get a bigger tone that way.
Gotcha. More surface area of the picks hitting the string.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can see what he's talking about. I guess that's what you're doing.
That's all I can figure. I mean, that's... Yeah, it's definitely not a conscious thing anymore, but I'm sure that's what it is, because I did... That's one of the things that I picked up from Tony over the years, and he always made sure he did that because of that. That tone was just bigger when you did that.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool. Well,
so that's probably what it is. Jacob,
we'll go with that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks, Jacob Irvin and Jordan, for. Giving us something to talk about. Appreciate y'all checking out the Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page. So if you get a chance, please go on there and like our page, share our page, leave us a comment, leave us a question, send us a message. And we would love it if you, wherever you listen to your podcast, to like and subscribe to that. It really helps us out. Just take a minute to and leave us a review if you listen to Apple or Spotify. Those reviews help, and it gives other people, you know, an idea of what the show's about and shows that people like it. So we would love it if you would subscribe.
And we would really appreciate it if you don't like it. Just don't put anything down, please.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be good. And if you do like it, send a check or money order for $29.95. If only. But
who was it that was talking about Mordecai?
Jordan.
It was Jordan.
Yeah, the gentleman that was asking how we met, and he was wanting to know if you could maybe play Mordecai.
Is that
talk about?
He said do a rundown of it.
Said,
is that what?
Yeah, rundown, run through. You know,
I mean, I can run it down pretty hard.
Yeah, run it down.
So,
I mean, we can't hardly let you play this song without prefacing the YouTube video. So we've got to let people know that if you've never seen the video from about
2011.
Go to YouTube. Just type in Mordecai and Josh Williams, and you will find the video where Josh was playing Mordecai with Terry Bauckham and Timmy Dishman. And
no, it was Randy Barnes in that Randy one Barnes, because okay. That was technically my band, the Josh Williams band, but Jason was out for some reason, and Terry was actually filling in with him,
yeah.
Or for him, rather, filling yeah. in for him. And, it was kind of a cool deal, you know. I mean, and I remember when we got done, Bauckham looked at me, he's like, "Hey man, you've got a fan."
So, talking about the bird.
Yeah, talking about the bird.
So what if you don't know, if you haven't seen it, go just search Josh Williams and Mordecai on YouTube and
yes.
It'll come up. And Ted Lehman shot the video 13 years ago. It's got 2.7 million views.
Oh wow.
And but anyway, you're playing the Denton Farm Park Doyle Lawson Quicksilver Bluegrass Festival, and
sure was.
So there's a baby bird in a nest above your head while you're playing.
And they were chirping all day. Yeah, so, I mean, they were noisy.
And so you start playing Mordecai, and this baby bird just decides to fly down and land on your guitar.
That's exactly what happens.
And you just never missed a lick, and just kept on singing to the bird, and then pet the bird. And
the reason I didn't stop singing was because I needed something to keep my mind from just like really focused. All I knew at first was that something really big that had wings just landed on me.
It wasn't really big, Josh.
Well, I mean, I was thinking it was a bug of some sort, and I thought, okay, I'm going to scream like a little girl now. You know? Because I played a thing one year when the cicadas were real bad, you know?
Oh, Lord,
my gosh, dude. They were landing on my face, on my legs, on my, you know, everything.
Yeah. Well, you didn't jump, but you didn't scream like a little girl.
Yeah. No. That was the point of continuing to sing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. So if you get a chance, go watch that video and up those views there for Mr. Ted. Oh, there's somebody watched it from China or something.
I don't have that kind of talk.
Yeah, translate to English. I like the performance and the interaction with the birds, so I come back to watch this video from time to time.
Nice.
Yeah, somebody from a different country that I couldn't read, but thanks to Google, it translates.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you do that in the key of
R.
R. I know it's D capo 3. I know it's what you do it in. So.
Well, it's G capo 3, but there's a lot of D
right,
in
exactly.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. It starts with a D, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm.
But so you do that in the key of B flat.
Yep. Should I go ahead and do it?
Do it, man. Let her rip, Tater Chip. Here is the live version of Mordecai minus the baby bird.
That's right. See him in the distance on the trail along the rim, his silver head against the mountain sky. And Grandma's face would open up when she saw that it was him, and she'd say, "Daddy, grab a chair, it's Mordecai." And it seemed to me he brought a country store there on his back as he laid it all before us on the ground. I knew he'd finally reach into that ragged old backpack for the candy that he always brought around. He said, "My papa was a wandering Jew, and it's my fate to be one too. I'll roam these mountain trails until I die. Perhaps one day I'll see my home." Then he smiled and turned to go, and we all say goodbye to Mordecai. One evening when he stayed with us, I saw him at his prayers as the last light trickled through the cabin door. He stood before the little yellow candle burning there, softly speaking words I never heard before. And I told him how my grandma said it troubled her mind so, such a fine man wasn't washed in the blood of the Lamb. He smiled and said, "Tell Grandma if it pleases her to know that she and I both pray to the God of Abraham." He said, "My papa was a wandering Jew, and it's my fate to be one too. I'll roam these mountain trails until I die. Perhaps one day I'll see my home." Then he smiled and turned to go, and we all say goodbye to Mordecai. It's been so long now since I left that hillside far behind for a place I've never truly called my home. And more these days I see him walking in my mind through the misty mountain distance all alone. Mordecai was a wandering Jew in my own way. I am one too. I hope to make it home before I die. And if I finally find my way, I'll light a candle at his grave and say one more goodbye to Mordecai.
There it is. Who wrote that song?
Mark Mathewson.
Does he perform, or does he just write songwriter?
He does a lot of songwriting. He's up in Southern Illinois, so he's not too far away from here. But he did play for a while. Mm-hmm. He was playing in the band with Terry Lease, the promoter, for a long time in Southern mm-hmm. Illinois, and everywhere in Illinois and Missouri and stuff. But he played in his band for a long time, plays guitar and sang. Great singer, too, you know.
Huh.
Very talented guy. But he actually had sent that to Don Rigsby. And Don, of course, was producing my albums and stuff. So he brought that to me, thought it would be a great song. And I have played that song so much, man.
Yeah, it's... Besides Prodigal Son, it might be your second most requested song.
It really is, man. And you know, there was a... Well, just the term wandering Jew is not exactly the
politically correct.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and... But people of the Jewish community love that song, and they're the ones that request it more than anything.
Really? What a story, though, man.
I mean, I know.
It's, like, different than so many stories in bluegrass songs, and I think that's what I was attracted to is, like... Oh my gosh, what a great storyline. I mean, it just paints a picture, you know.
It really does.
And I love the song.
Now, there was one guy who was very devout Jewish faith, of the Jewish faith, and he asked me one time, he said, there's a part in the second verse or whatever, you know, he said that he's sitting in front of a candle. He said, I don't know of any... You know, other than lighting the menorah, you know, during Hanukkah or whatever, he said, I don't know of anything, you know, any practice that would involve the candle, you know. And I told him, I said, I just from my own guessing, I would believe that because of the time that the whole thing is really set in, is not modern time, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think more than likely, as opposed to using the candle for the prayer, I think he was, that was the last candle that was lit in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, because how they lit the house at night.
I picture the song written in like the early 1900s, you know, maybe, I don't know, or late 1800s, maybe. I don't know. Who knows about it. Anyway, but yeah, that's kind of why I pictured it. But
yeah, that's the way that I kind of look at it.
Yeah.
That's how he's, you know, as the last light. You know,
trickled through the cabin door.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's the last light that's in the house that's still on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
Well, it paints a beautiful picture, and man, what a great song. So,
yeah.
Well, if you get a chance, go watch the video. We'll post the link on our Facebook page, and you guys can check it out. And pretty cool. Good job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right. We'll be right back right after these messages from Mr. Joe Mullins.
Ohio's award-winning bluegrass event is the Industrial Strength Bluegrass Festival, and tickets are available now. This is Joe Mullins inviting you Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, November 7th, 8th, and 9th to the Roberts Convention Center, Wilmington, Ohio. Don't miss Grand Ole Opry star Rhonda Vincent, The Seldom Seen, Bluegrass Hall of Fame member Larry Sparks, Balsam Range, and a dozen other top bands and artists. The complete schedule and ticket options are at industrialstrengthbluegrass.com. The Radio Ramblers perform each day, too, as your host for the Industrial Strength Bluegrass Festival. The Roberts Center is between Columbus and Cincinnati, right beside I-71 in Ohio. Those 16 and under are admitted free. RV parking and campsites are available, and quality hotels are nearby. See you in November at Ohio's biggest bluegrass event. Check it out today at industrialstrengthbluegrass.com. Sponsored by Tourism Ohio. The heart of it all at ohio.org.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Craving the cheesiest pizza in town? Look no further than Mimi's Pizza and Subs in La Center, Kentucky. Our pizzas are loaded with melted cheese and fresh toppings that'll make your taste buds dance. But that's not all. At Mimi's, they have live music, including some of the best bands in bluegrass music. Whether you're a bluegrass fan or just love a good slice, Mimi's Pizza and Subs is your go-to destination. Mimi's Pizza and Subs, where every pizza is a masterpiece.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. I am your hostess with the mostest, Tim Batts.
You are a hostess.
I eat a lot of hostess with the mostest, but and my illustrious potentate co-host, yes. Mr. Josh Williams.
That's right. Yeah, that's me.
And we are plumb excited to have our buddy Jonathan Keaton on the phone with us. How are you, man?
Doing well, guys. How are you all?
Man, we are doing fabulous.
Good, man.
And we are excited to have you and talk to you. So, first and foremost, you've been married how long now? 6 days? 9 days?
Just about almost a little over a week. I tell you what, it's been all it's cracked up to be.
And she's putting up with you so far.
Yeah, I Lost and Found, they recorded a song, said the man who wrote Home Sweet Home never was a married man. I don't know if that song was true or not, but I'm not hit with a frying pan yet.
Oh, well, give it time, man. Give it time. No, congratulations, man. I saw y'all's pictures on Facebook, and I know y'all had a big time. So was it a big wedding or...
Well, it was big enough for us. We're some pretty simple folk, and we had just close friends and family and the people who were able to make it. We were really blessed to have a good weather and good day and, you know, have all that good stuff.
So it was outside then?
No, it was actually inside, you know, still good weather. We took pictures outside, and it was just a really great day. Everything went smooth, and couldn't ask for much better of a time.
Cool, man. We're looking at the pictures. Look like you married up, man. She's a lot prettier than you are.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Oh, we're just picking at you, man. So
did you
serenade her with some banjo tunes at the wedding, or?
Well, she told me to keep it at home this time.
Oh. Yeah, all right. Okay, then now we're getting to the real stuff here.
Yeah. See, it's not all what Facebook says.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, everybody has their Facebook life and their real life, you know. So.
Yes.
That's their highlight reel.
Exactly. Well, you guys are doing a highlight reel. So you guys, West Liberty Mountain Boys, tell me about your band. When did y'all start?
Sure.
I'm guessing you guys are from West Liberty.
Yes, we're from West Liberty, Kentucky, which is in the eastern part of Kentucky and Morgan County. We got started in high school, actually, three of us, my guitar player, Matt Bailey, and my mandolin player, Byron Holbrook, and I, we got together when we were in high school. And it kind of started as just a little weekend excursion. We had went on a little camping trip at Matt's grandparents, and he had a camper set up. And we were green as could be. We didn't hardly know G, C, and D. But we all kind of got together and we knew some old Stanley songs and started playing, and it kind of just evolved into a regular gig where we would go out and play stuff, and people started paying attention and saying, hey, you know, come play here and come play there. We played our little hometown bluegrass festival that unfortunately we don't have it no more, and we played a couple other things, and it just kind of evolved over the years into something really awesome. So yeah, we kind of fanned out from being just, I guess you could say, camper pickers, and I guess we get to play a lot of shows, and we're really proud of what we do.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you should be proud. We heard lots of your music. You got a new album out, Finding New Ground. Y'all had an album out before that, though, didn't you? Did I see that?
Well,
is this your second album? Or?
Well, this is technically our third album. Gotcha. We recorded a couple homebrew albums whenever we were kids.
Yeah.
We bought our own equipment. We had a little interface, and we recorded a couple 12, 13-song projects, and they did fairly well. We didn't have them online, and we didn't get near the promotion as we are now because, for one, we were really green. We didn't know how to do any of that stuff. We just thought, hey, let's get us some CDs and hand them out, and it is what it is. But when you're 15 and 16, 17 years old, you don't really think about anything like promotion or trying to get yourself out there. So you're just happy to be on stage playing somewhere. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
I hear you. So you guys all have regular jobs and just kind of play when you can or on the weekends and stuff?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Our bass player, Ryan Gillum, He's our newest member. He works at the bank in Moorhead, and he's a loan officer, so he's got a really good job. Matt Bailey, our guitar player, he's a civil engineer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. And Byron Holbrook, he is a plumber by trade, and he works for a local contractor. And I work in the media world. I know you're, Tim, you're a media guy, so maybe you'll appreciate that. I've got a degree in media. I work for a TV company in West Liberty, a private-owned unit. So
Mountain Rural Telephone.
Yes, Mountain Rural Telephone. That's a good place to work.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have heard they were a sponsor on the radio show that Ricky and Keith Whitley had, Ricky Skaggs and Keith Whitley when they were kids. Because I remember hearing Keith as a kid, you know, maybe early teens.
Yeah.
I remember him saying, now here's a word from our sponsor, Mountain Rural Telephone.
Wow. That's cool.
Yep, that's it.
That's cool. So your mandolin player is the plumber, right? And his name was?
Yes.
What was his name again?
His name's Byron Holbrook.
Yeah, okay, Byron, yeah. Now, does he do most of the lead singing or?
He does a lot of it. He is, of course, our higher singer. He sings a lot of the high parts, and he's a great songwriter. I mean, most of our songs on our album, this newest album, we have 8 original tunes, and some that Ryan, our bass player, wrote, and some Byron had wrote. But Byron, he's a phenomenal writer, and it's just so easy for him to get things wrote, and he's just a great singer.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So how many of your new album, Find a New Ground, is, of course, out on all streaming platforms and everything. I'm sitting here looking at it on Apple Music now. So 12 songs on the album. How many are original songs that you guys wrote? Or tell us a little bit about the content.
All right. Well, 8 of them are original. So, of course, there's 12 songs on the album. 8 are original. And they were written by us in the band.
Oh, cool.
Some of the songs on the album, Springtime in Alaska, which of course is a cover of a Johnny Horton song. If you all are familiar with Johnny Horton, that was a huge hit for him back in the day. Yeah. And there's actually a neat story about behind that. And it's kind of one of those things that you're kind of tell haphazardly, but I don't care to tell it. But Springtime in Alaska, it was one of the songs that this songwriter was, I'm trying to think of the word. Supposedly he had wrote a bunch of songs. His name was Paul Gilley, and our local historian here in Morgan County, he's passed away, but he had wrote some books about this guy, Paul Gilley, and his family and a lot of people around here had evidence that he had wrote a lot of songs for big country music artists such as Jim Reeves and Hank Williams, Johnny Horton, and that was one of the songs that he was supposed to have written. And of course, back in the day, writers would sell their songs and they would just, you know, they wouldn't get any royalties from it. They might sell it for $25 or $100 or whatever they went for, and that would be it. And that was supposedly one of the songs that he had written and sold. And the credit goes to Horton's manager, Tillman Franks. And that's, of course, what we credit it to. But it's kind of neat to think that it's possibly been written by a guy here in Morgan County.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a really neat kind of aspect, because that's what our band tries to do. We like local writers. If we don't write it ourselves, we like local people.
Yeah.
You know, local artists that have done songs. It's just kind of our thing.
Yeah.
And to do different stuff, not just your standard, you know, music that everybody does. We want to do something different. But that's a great song. It's done really good for us. Some other songs on the album, Seasons Fade, that's a trio, just like the old time way that some songs were done, kind of like a Dream of a Miner's Child. That was a three part harmony all the way through it. And that's what Seasons Fade is. Mm-hmm. I wrote that along with Byron. It's a great tune. It's just a good old feel good trio. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of good response out of that. So yeah. I mean, we do all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
We don't just stick to one thing.
Right. Yeah. I love the variety of the music on here, and you guys seem to have fun when you play too. That's what I like. I like to, don't just stand there, you know, just to put some energy in it. And that's what I saw. The videos I saw of you guys look fabulous. Look like you're having a blast. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing about it for us is, you know, we're friends first.
Right.
You know, we all grew up around each other and we're friends and buddies, and we all have interests outside of music. So, you know, that's one thing. But whenever we get on stage, I feel like it's such a great fit. We have a good time. We have a lot of the same ideas. And we gel good together.
Right.
So that makes it real easy too, you know, to be creative and to do new things. Right. So
absolutely.
That's what this album encapsulates, I think.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at you. This is the Hometown Bluegrass Show. So we always try to feature a hometown each episode, and West Liberty, I'm looking at it on the map here, and yeah, you're just south of Sandy Hook. I mean, so where Keith Whitley.
Yeah, you're not far.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Keith Whitley, of course, grew up in Sandy Hook, and I'm really good friends with his brother, Dwight, and he's a great guy.
Well, he is.
He's been a big supporter.
Nice.
He's been a big supporter of our group and a big supporter of myself as a banjo player. You know, he just come up and talk to you and brag on you, and, you know, he means it.
Yeah.
He's just a good guy. Mm. So very fortunate to be in this area of a lot of talented people. You know, it seems like everybody can play and everybody's talented.
It's awesome. It's just, I love being up there. Awesome. You know, I got the opportunity to do a show a couple of 3 years back now. It was a Keith Whitley tribute show that they did over at Madeline Farms Flemingsburg. And, that was a lot of fun. I got to do that, and Mo Pitney was there, and of course Jesse Keith, and my musical comrade Don Rigsby. It was a really cool night, you know, and getting to do that. And Dwight was just the nicest guy, man. Of course, I hadn't seen him in a while when I saw him then. I didn't know he'd grown that beard out like he had, but
yeah.
Yeah. So when he came in, I knew it was him, but it was just like, whoa, you know. So. Yeah, but what a great dude, man. He's always been that way. He's just 100% genuinely good person, you know. So
yeah, I was actually there that night at Menland Farm. Yeah, I actually had a camera crew there. We filmed the whole festival and replayed it on our local TV station. So if you've seen people out with cameras and things, that was probably my crew.
Well, that's
we
awesome.
Filmed that whole thing and put it on YouTube and on our local TV. So, and it was because of Keith Whitley. The Keith Whitley tribute was our draw because we've got customers in Ellett County and Sandy Hook, and they, of course, are proud of Keith Whitley and the Whitley family. And so we wanted to make sure they could see that. So that was a good thing for us.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I'll look for that because I didn't know where to look for that. So I will look you up on YouTube, try to find you. So I want to see that. That was a fun night.
Awesome. Yeah.
I remember it being hotter than a $2 pistol, I guess you could say. It was very hot. And I remember just feeling like I was absolutely melting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty warm evening, and the day before we got all of our camera equipment soaked, and we had to dry it out for three sets of music. So we had to take it in the camper and take everything out and dry it out. I mean, it was kind of a hassle, but we got back out there and finished up. So I mean, it was kind of an interesting weekend, but there's a lot of great music, and that's what I like about this area. There's a lot of good festivals, good fellowship. Everybody's, you know, supporting each other. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of competition. It's more support than anything.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, but you're right. That is the heart of a lot of great music. Don Rigsby's from around there. It's pretty close to that, too. Isn't he?
Yep, there in that far area. From
there. He's from Ellett County.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Isonville. That's not far from you at all. Yeah, right, Isonville. And I was going to check. I was going to buy you lunch, but I just Googled it. You're 400 miles exactly from where we are. So.
Yeah. Hey, you could buy me lunch at the Penny Martin Sandy Hook. Just call it in.
There you go.
I'll Venmo you. Oh man. Yeah, when we first started talking about doing this podcast, you were like, man, we could just come do it in person, man, sound good and have fun. I was like, well, sure, that's great. And I think you must have researched how far away we were in Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, I made a trip out there to the Kentucky Opry, me and my wife. We went and watched John Conley out there one time, and we drove all the way out there, and we watched John, and we drove all the way back in the same evening.
Oh, wow, man.
And I'm pretty sure that when we pulled in the driveway, she said, never again.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
I understand
she said
that.
She said, we'll go back, but if we do, we're getting a hotel.
Yes, no doubt. I don't blame her.
No doubt. Well, yeah, maybe we can get you you guys to come play at the Opry for us one night.
That'd be great.
We have Bluegrass Night there, you know, the first Friday of every month, or Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass. And of course, that's where Josh grew up playing. And
The first time I was ever on stage, I was 9 years old, and it was there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's such a great venue. It's a beautiful place and great sound. And that place was absolutely packed for John Conley.
Yeah, they sell out every time he comes there. I think he plays there two or three times a year. I think he's playing there.
He did. I don't know if he's doing it that many times now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know he's coming. I think he's coming up playing again pretty soon.
Probably.
Anyway.
Yeah, I tried to buy tickets, and as soon as I went to buy tickets, they were all the good seats were pretty much gone.
Yeah.
The day of the sale went live. So
well, the good thing about Kentucky Opry is that it's there's really not any really bad seats. You know, I mean, even from the back row, you can still see the stage pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. It's a great venue. Yeah, we'd love to come there and play. I'd say you all might could hook us up. Maybe we'd come down sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we are a nonprofit, so we don't have a multi-million dollar budget or nothing, but we could definitely love to have you. Yeah, we got our festival coming up this weekend. It's our second year to do it for the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass. So we're excited. We've got the Grascals coming back again, and Dalton Harper and Fifth Degree, and so we're tickled just to have a few bands coming back next weekend. So
absolutely, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Get you guys down on the western end of the state. We're you're hillbillies. We're riverbillies down here. So
that's right.
Well, how can people find out where you guys are going to play? You got a Facebook page or a website or?
Yes, we've got multiple social media channels. We've got Facebook, Instagram, and we actually have a TikTok page for the younger folks out there. And you'll find out if you go to TikTok and look up West Liberty Mountain Boys, you'll find out that we have a lot of fun.
Oh, cool!
And it's mainly us being silly,
yeah.
But people like that. And, you know, we love to play music, like I said, but we're all buddies. So we like to cut up and have fun. And there's videos of us bowling on there and dancing and blowing duck calls and everything.
Oh, now you're talking. We get a lot of duck hunting over here in West Kentucky. So that's for sure.
Yeah. My mandolin player, my bass player need to make a trip out there. They are absolutely hog wild about hunting.
Well, I can hook them up for a duck hunt. That's for sure. So we got lots of
absolutely
that going on around here. So absolutely. So
but yeah, find us on social media. We got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're on Bands in Town. I don't know if anybody uses that anymore, but I really like it.
Yeah, that's especially in the Nashville area. They use it a lot, you know, so.
I think it's great to put all of our shows on there. You know, that way people can have a good list. And on all that.
It's great SEO, too, because they show up on just about any Google search. You know, matter of fact, I think they showed up when I was looking for you guys earlier. So
yeah. Southern Legacy's on that, too. We just did that not long ago. So
yeah, that's a great way for people to find you. So do you guys play pretty regularly or
Yeah, we try to. I mean, like I said, of course, this is not our full-time thing, so we just play when we can or even when we want to. But we do have a lot of stuff coming up in the next couple months. We've been really blessed to have some good shows this year, some great crowds, and a couple things we got coming up. If you're in the Eastern Kentucky area, we're going to be playing at the Hazel Green Academy. Now, that's where I live right now in Wolf County. That's where I'm currently at. We're going to be playing at the Hazel Green Academy for a free show. Morehead State University, they put on a free concert series there through the fall, and it's through a student work program. They have actually taken this old school campus, Hazel Green Academy used to be a kindergarten through 12th grade school, and it is kind of dilapidated over the years, and they have renovated it and made it into a beautiful place to have music. And we'll be playing there on October the 10th. It's on a Thursday night, so if you're in Eastern Kentucky, that'd be a great place to go, to the Hazel Green Academy in Wolf County, Kentucky. And we got a couple other things coming up. We'll be in Huntington, West Virginia on the October 12th playing Chili Fest. And that sounds like a really fun time if you like to eat. And you all seen my picture, you can tell I like to eat. So.
Me too, bro. I'm all about
we all do,
but bluegrass music and chili, man. That'd be great.
They do go together well.
We'll be up in the, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. And we'll be up in the Huntington area some on October the 12th, and we'll be at Rattlesnake Ridge Community Center in Olive Hill, Kentucky on the 12th as well. So we'll be doing double shows that day. And, you know, if you want a full list, you can go to any of our social media pages. Facebook or Bands in Town has the full list. I do want to mention this one show, and it's very special to me. I'd say you all have probably heard about Styx Hicks. He's been having a lot of trouble and been in the hospital and been praying for him. And, you know, he got out the other day, and I actually seen a picture of him and Dave Carroll, you know, pointing at each other at Poppy Mountain. So he actually got to make it to Poppy Mountain.
Well, that's
and
good.
I'm really glad to see him out stirring. But they're having a benefit show for him. Let's see when that date is. I think it is in November, on November the 2nd. And there's going to be some different groups there. Billy Renee and Cumberland Gap, us, Hammertown will be there, Meta Green Trio, and a lot of different groups. And they're putting on a big benefit for Styx to help raise money to pay for his hospital stay and some other expenses. So I encourage everybody to come out. It's at Meta Green Appalachian Music Park at Clay City. Ricky Wasson and his family's putting it on. If you've ever been out to Meta Green, you know that Ricky puts on a great show. He's got a great place for music. So
he sure does.
Be sure to do that on November the 2nd.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, yeah, if you've ever been to a bluegrass festival, especially the state of Kentucky, you probably met Styx Hicks for sure. So that's a great cause.
Yeah, most people are there to see Styx.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I've wanted one of those shirts forever, but I haven't got up with Jonathan Carroll to get one yet. I need one.
Yep.
That's cool. Well, Jonathan Keaton, thank you so much for taking some time, man. We love your music. We love what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that album.
We appreciate you spending some time with us here.
Yeah. And congratulations on your new marriage.
Thank you, guys.
I hope she puts up with you for another week. I hope you can make it 2 weeks.
Well, you know, the week is young, so
just we'll take it a day at a time, buddy.
That's right. Well, one more thing. I encourage everybody to check out our new album, Finding New Ground by the West Liberty Mountain Boys. It's on all streaming products. We also have physical copies of CDs for sale. I know some people are old school or they just want to support us. You know, we have physical copies. They could order them through Facebook. We have hats for sale, too. My buddy Josh Cantrell's made us some hats, really nice leather patch hats. I mean, they look great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we appreciate everybody that supports us, and come to the show and keep listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show with Tim Batts and Josh Williams.
That's right. Man, we appreciate like that, man.
Right there.
He is in the media.
I'm telling you. I love this guy. Hey, we're going to play one of your songs off your new album. Which one you want us to play? And we'll close out with that.
All right. Let me think about this. I would like to hear some Richer Than the City. That was written by Mr. Ryan Gillum, and it's a great song.
Cool. Well, that sounds good. Richer Than the City right here on Finding New Ground on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you.
This was where I'd always be. Some might feel out of place, but it's just fine by me. I hear people talk of how they won't leave. They can't wait to get away. As far as I'm just assume stay. Well, it might be slower than the rest of the world, but one day they'll see that middle nowhere and all that it holds can be richer than the city. Make up with the heart, loving people and family. Who cares? They've been there from the start. Well, you might find silver and you might find gold hidden in those city lights, but way out here nowhere you'll find a home. And that sounds all right. Well, it might be slower than the rest of the world, but one day they'll see that middle nowhere and all that it holds can be richer than the city. Yes, way out here nowhere and all that it holds, to me it's richer than the city.
Richer Than the City from the West Liberty Mountain Boys on their new album, Finding New Ground. Good song.
Yeah, it's a great song, man.
Sure is. Such a great guy. It was so good to talk to Jonathan Keaton from the West Liberty Mountain Boys, and love what those guys are doing.
Man, he is very well-spoken.
He's well-spoken. Good banjo picker, too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
very good.
Good group of guys. So, Well, man, it's another great show. We just finished our 34th episode. Can you dig it?
Wow.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's awesome. We're about to knock a year out here, ain't we?
I know it. I can't believe it. We're getting old. Flying by.
It's going by too fast. I know man. It.
Well, great show, man. You played Mordecai earlier, so what do you say we just take us out with Mordecai?
Well, he usually does that anyway.
He does. He's a good guy.
Oh, Mordecai.
If I finally find my way.
Well, we'll just light another candle at his grave.
That's right.
Appreciate y'all for listening to us here.
See you later. This has been a Bats Creative Audio production.